from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
And find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome aboard.
Ahoy, hoy.
It is another SOB edition of Primetime. Souk, Ortner, and Buckley here with you on a Monday. Ropp still out down on the California Peninsula.
Vancouver 4 text line already starting. Does Ropp work anymore? Is this his retirement ride into the sunset moment?
Not today, baby.
We'll be back tomorrow.
We think.
Well, again, play some odds, but the plan is Ropp back tomorrow. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
But if he catches his flight,
stay frosty, boys. Stay frosty. Will, you may be coming in off the bench real fast. Maybe getting that call at about 1:45. All right, ditch the kindergarten room. Come on in.
Well, as everyone here knows, Will is Mr. The best ability is availability.
I told him that when he first started. Will, was that like 2 years ago? How long have you been here?
2 years in August.
Yeah, 2 years. And that was the first piece of advice I told Will. Just be available.
Say yes to everything.
When someone says, well, hey, do you want it? You're like, yep, that's how I got started. Hey, Sue, can you work mornings? Yeah. Hey, what about the afternoon? Sure.
And that's just it. For those who don't know or might not have been up at the early hour, this is a double dip for Mr. Ortner today. He already did the morning shift today.
He's out there killing it.
Yeah.
He's like a little bulldog out there getting it done. He had an all weekend. He's got a hangover. He'll be fine.
I made sure that everyone knew what was going on. Everyone okayed what I did.
But he made himself available once again.
That's right.
I wasn't expecting.
Will is a pack mule. I love it. He's just out there getting it done. Just
workhorse.
Just climbing the Grand Canyon. Load some stuff on his now scrawny, skinny back, who's super thin, by the way.
You mean muscular back?
Yeah, sure. Dude, you are officially skinny.
He's gotten quite trim.
Yeah.
I'd call it toned.
You can call it whatever you want. O-linemen always go one of two ways. Right, you just let it go, and it's like, bleh, or you dial it back the other way, and I'll give
a perfect rendition of your drop, by
the
way.
Oh yeah, or you go the other way, and Will went with like full on like Joe Thomas the other way. Like,
yeah,
Will's full on lean. He's a lean, like he's out there on that. It's that Tinder world. He's like, I gotta get skinny. I gotta get out there. Like, he is just keeps dropping LBs.
Is it swipe right or swipe left that you want?
I don't know. I've never been on Tinder.
Oh, well.
I've never tried an app.
Oh.
I feel like there's
a whole pond of fish out there for you.
Will's out there just being organic.
Are you still out there getting it done? The Southwest Washington Travis Kelce, is that still a thing at the bar scene?
I'm not really at the bars either. Although, okay. I had a nice time this weekend. We went dancing. It was cool.
Went dancing.
See, that's Skinny Will. No,
made some friends.
Fat Will doesn't dance.
Fat Will did not dance.
Skinny Will.
Skinny Will bust a move.
Skinny Will's out there getting it done.
Skinny Will's hanging out with
it.
People.
I love it.
I did have a question for Skinny Will today.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's. I try to keep up with certain lingo that's going on with the youngs and often in sports, and I think I get a fair amount of it from NBA Twitter, but I keep seeing people bring up the word brat. On Twitter,
yeah,
that's like a young person. What is brat?
We got to go to Will for the what the kids are into.
I've heard it talked about with the Olympics. I've heard it talked about with politics. This is brat. That's brat. I don't have the first idea what's going on. And I think it's young.
It's got something to do with it's a Charlie XCX song.
Okay.
I'm not as hip on it as I probably should be, but it's basically you're good. They're trying to take the word back over. You're a brat. There's other words that I can't really mention on air right now.
It's cocksure, right? You're you're boasted up, right?
Pretty much.
That was my interpretation of
okay.
it. Like mm-hmm. I try to just gather.
With context, try to figure it out.
You trying to stay young over there too? What's going on over here?
We have a lot of guys at my jiu-jitsu place that are young. We have a lot of the young dumbs and they say stuff. And if you just shut up and listen, you'd be like, what the, and so I try not to do the but I just listen and context. And so, yes, I've heard that brat. And at first I thought it was an insult. And then I was like, wait, no, I think it's like a confidence thing. I think you just if you're the man or if you're the gal, you're a brat.
Okay.
You're a badass, I guess.
Are you a brat or are you brat? Is it an adjective or a noun?
I think it can be both.
Okay. I don't think I've learned anything, but
I would never use anything that. I just try to stay somewhat informed. That way, my kids don't make fun of me.
I think the last lingo I tried like that was "it's lit" when the kids were saying "it's lit."
Yeah,
that was a ways back.
I still say it's
okay.
Lit.
Well,
right.
It's rough. If you see a guy my age and he's no cap, you're like, oh my god, please don't. And then someone will be like, dude, that's 3 years old and already you shouldn't be using it.
Yeah, cap, cap was one that. Will uses bet all the time.
Bet, yeah,
which basically means yes. Yeah, okay,
yeah. Bet or down.
Yeah,
yep.
I'm down. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm a big bet guy.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just
and a big betting guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Multiple ways. You gotta stay in with the youngs. You keep your ear to the and Will's a teacher, so he's the best. So
there's some ones out there that you guys have no idea. You thought brat was blowing your mind.
Well,
there's all kinds of stuff.
What's the oldest? Do you go up to high school or do you go up to middle school for what you teach?
I teach everything. I can go as far down as TK and mm-hmm. as high up as
seniors in high school.
Yeah.
Dang. Well, I was at a.
Imagine being 18 and having Will tell you what you need to know.
Well, dude, when you get teacher. Into if you're not around kids and then all of a sudden you get thrown around kids, weird stuff happens. And so I find it best that you just shut your mouth and turn around and walk the other way. One, little kids are just mean as can be, and there's nothing you can do back to them. So you can't relate to them. So just you turn and walk the other way. Just at any given point, if I have any interaction with any child, under the age of 16, just know that nothing you're going to say matters.
There's no common ground. You have nothing to talk about.
No, just turn and walk away. And the worst thing is, it's just going to get uncomfortable and awkward. In fact, I went to my gal has a family group that she calls it the family group.
Okay.
And it's basically just a bunch of Asians getting together and being Asian.
Okay.
And it's all different kinds of Asians, but they call it family because the Asians stick together, even though all the Asians hate each other. But this group somehow gets together. So you got a little bit of everything. And the food
running for president of Asia.
Yeah. And the food's really good. It's always really good food, but I usually don't go because the, all my kids are old and mm-hmm. all their kids are young.
Okay.
And none of the husbands or boyfriends, we don't really have anything particularly to common ground.
Not a lot of overlapping interest.
No, no. And so I'm just I'm just the old man of the group, but every now and then I'll go to one. And I went to one this Sunday and this was a youthful interaction. One of the more awkward interactions I've ever had. And again, I didn't say a word. I just walked away.
Okay.
And I'm sure it was very innocent and it was probably just tattoo related. But so it was a pool party.
Okay.
We were at someone's house that had a pool. It was way out in the country. We were all hanging out. And there was a kid who was probably 10, 11 years old, and he was in like Daisy Duke cutoffs, which already is strange enough. Like, I was like...
Like 1950s, like, swimmer boy shorts?
But
like,
short.
Okay. How old?
Like, 10, 11 years old. Like, and they were rolled up. I mean, it was like...
Okay.
They were a lot of thigh. Like, all thigh.
Thighs out, baby.
That's weird. But, like, 20-year-olds, Daisy Dukes are back for men.
Well, it's
that's
back.
That's the thing.
It's back with Dukes. The kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know the short inseam, but, like, we're going, like...
I've got lots of short shorts, dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Rolled.
They're
rolled,
back.
Man. Okay. Like, you could see the bottom of the pockets.
Well, that's okay with me. I have good legs.
And I was
top
like,
out, not so much.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. So I'm just minding my own business. I was in shorts. I was like in swim trunks and a tank top. I hadn't gone to the pool. It was kind of overcast. It wasn't really warm.
Yeah, the weather was kind of funky this weekend.
Yeah.
It still is.
So I was walking over to grab something to eat. On my way back, this is the conversation. Hand to God. This is exactly how this conversation went down. I don't know who this kid is. I didn't know who this kid belonged to. Never spoken a word to this kid in my life. He looks right at me. He's like by the diving board. And he says, are you going swimming? And I said, I don't know. Maybe if it gets hotter. And he looks right at me and goes, I want you to take your shirt off.
Mm.
You ever been asked by an 11-year-old to take your shirt off? There's no good response to that. Not a single one. Now, again, I'm sure it was merely because I was wearing a tank top and I have a lot of tattoos. So my guess is... he just was interested in the tattoos, right?
And that there was just a social thing missing more than there was an odd
like what are your tattoos, whatever. All I got was, are you going swimming?
Take off your shirt.
I'd like you to take your shirt off. At which point I turned,
bye,
didn't say a word, and walked the other direction. And didn't encounter, like, I spent the entire time.
Honey, can we leave now?
Yeah, I just was like, I'm going to go over there. And by the way, I let the powers that be, I let the BTJ know, just so you know.
This person said this to me.
Yeah.
I have chosen not to engage.
I'm over here. She's like, what did you say? I said, nothing. I came right over here. I'm going to come over here.
I'm telling you right now.
And then at that point, I just spent the rest of the time making sure that there was, like, a pool length. I wanted no impropriety. Just was like, yeah, this.
Keep this, a buffer.
Yeah, it's nice buffers. Again, sure was very innocent. Sure was just that, but you can't take any chances. You just say, when a young boy in Daisy Dukes asks you to take your shirt off, there is no good answer to that. There just isn't. So the answer to be given is none. The answer is walk away and walk away briskly.
And don't try to figure it out or navigate it. You're only going to put yourself in a worse position.
Exactly. Yeah, that happened. And then at that same party, there was a basketball. It was a really cool spread. Like, the place was kick-ass. It was, like, on acreage. They had, like, a sports court. I picked up a basketball for the first time in, like, a decade.
Nice.
And you think, like, shooting a basketball is like riding a bike? It's not. It's not. We were all just sitting around. Like, everyone was in barefoot. And, you know, there were a couple of guys shooting. So I was like, I'll find some common ground with these bros over here shooting. No. I went, like, 3 for, like, 72.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, it's an abomination. And, like, you think eventually, because, like, you're hitting the rim, you're like, oh, that's close. Eventually, they're going to go in. No. It was a shooting display. I was like, yee. Turns out, not picking up a ball. Because I remember, like, I used to play basketball. I was all right. You shoot the ball up. Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. It was just a series of back iron clanks for the better part of 15 minutes, followed by, I'm never picking up a basketball again. That was my party.
I'd probably be in that same boat, and I love getting shots up so much, I couldn't live with that reality of just not ever being in. And so I sunk a hoop in the court or in the backyard last summer. And so I'm not out there all the time. I'm not grinding my face off getting shots up, but the jumper will always flow somewhat easily.
Oh no, I had this thing. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm like, give me 15 shots. You know, I'll get no, didn't happen." Just like, I felt bad because, like, I think the guy kept feeding me the ball. He was like, "Oh,
you got this one. Oh, you got this."
No, I didn't have this one cuz he was shooting the ball pretty good. He was just out there, like, draining threes. Me, I started at the three-point line, moved into, like, the top of the key, and then to, like, the free throw line. I didn't get any better.
Yeah, let's see if the bank shuts open. You know?
No, there's just a lot of, like, at that point, it was either layup or bust. I was like, I'm either working the Tim Duncan hook shot, or, you know what, how about I just go take this beer and I go sit down in the grass? It was a humbling experience. Turns out that it is not like riding a bike. You don't just get back up on it.
Yeah, the Vancouver 4 text line person saying, my elbow was sore after getting shots up for the first time in a long time. I get how that goes. Baseball was my sport growing up, and I used to just throw all the time. And then after I was done playing in high school, during college, I would coach, in the summer, I would coach like clinics and kids camps and things like that.
Yeah.
And often it involved throwing BP. I coached some traveling teams and stuff like that too. I remember the first time I threw like 200 pitches of BP after I hadn't thrown a ball in like 2 years. Oh my God, I thought my arm was going to fall off the next day.
Yeah. No, mine was there. There was no pain other than the pain of just
your pride.
Clank after clank after clank after clank. And then like you'd hit like two in a row. And you're like, oh, okay. Like,
getting it.
Yeah. You know, you drain a couple. And you're like, okay, no, no. And then you miss like nine more. And then you hit one. And you miss 17 more. It's just that point. You're like, Hibachi, make it rain. And you're just like, look, I'm gonna go take this beer and I'm gonna go avoid a small Daisy Duked boy for a while.
That's what they call being washed.
Yeah, that's hey. You know what? I know that phrase, and I think I've probably used that more recently than lit. So I guess I am hip.
It's lit. It was so bad, and it was like a youth ball too.
Oh,
so it was
boy.
Like smaller. So everything.
Does that make it worse? Because it doesn't feel as.
It made it way worse. Yeah. I thought it was like shooting with like a balloon.
No, you lean into that and you go, this ball isn't regulation. I would have made all those if this ball was regulation.
But the best part is like 20 shots in, one of the guys is like, yeah, he's like, they need a butter ball. And I was like, trust me, this has nothing to do with the basketball. He's like, I think it's a youth ball. I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, let's not blame this on the ball. It was just, everything I threw out was just rocket fire. Just rocket fuel at the back of the iron. And then you're like, okay, I got to ease up. Like, you can't shoot it as hard. No, that just leads to you're just hitting the bottom of the net. You're like, yeah, this is not working.
Last weekend, throwing
hand grenades up there.
I had a full-on show of this because we had a barbecue over at my house and some buddies came and everyone wanted to shoot hoops, but almost everybody has not done it in forever. So it got a lot better once they turned the crank and brought it down to about 7.5 feet. Everybody could throw down an easy dunk and felt a little better about themselves.
I'm just warning anyone out there, if you find yourself at a barbecue and you're having to flee a 10-year-old boy, do not seek refuge on the basketball court. It doesn't end well. If you haven't played basketball in a long time, you don't just pick it up. So I'm putting that warning out there to every middle-aged guy out there. Just you think it's a safe haven. It is not. You're just gonna be out there just throwing bricks up for a good solid 20 minutes, then you have to walk back in shame. You're like, oh boy, this isn't good.
Well, speaking of shame, one of the things we're going to get into today does relate to basketball. Team USA with their first test at the Olympics, passing with flying colors. But is there a little shame for an NBA champion who was left on the bench? We'll get to that. We're also going to talk to our friend the Yammer today, Mike Yam.
I love the Yammer.
Who's going to be doing some Pac-2 and ACC football stuff for the CW, as well as continuing his NFL Network gig. He's going to join us coming up right here at 3:30. So in about 15 minutes, we'll get caught up on all things college and pro football. With Mike, mentioned we have an Olympics roundup, not just the stuff that went on with the basketball team, but there are quite a few highlights from the weekend that was. And in the news, let's see, I've got a new road rage move. I've also got honing your Olympic skills right here in a Portland park. But coming up next, it's football season, kind of. Primetime.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
1080 The Fan.
Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime, an SOB edition. In just about 10 minutes, Mike Yam of the CW and the NFL Network going to join us to preview both the college football and NFL seasons. He has been a very busy man. He's a great friend of the show. We're looking forward to that. Also, one question from the Vancouver Ford text line. They asked if we all... did y'all ever discuss the open wound Souk saw riding his bike in Vancouver?
Oh, yeah.
We did. We did it in the club on Friday. So if you missed that, you can check out our podcast. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. You can check it out really any place. You can go back to our YouTube channel. But we did discuss. It was pretty heinous, but you may not want to miss it.
Well, if you've ever wondered, can you clean a frothing wound with a Armor All car wipe? The answer to that question is yes.
You can. At least as far as we know. But we are going to transition to a little football now. Our primetime poll question today. I just realized this morning that we get live football this week.
Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game's Thursday.
Caleb Williams, I don't think, I mean, he said that he doesn't think he's going to play anymore.
It seems like that's going to be the case. And actually, coming up a little bit later, I have some audio from his backup. I wanted to know if you think he's awesome or if you think he's a total douche. It's going to be one of the two. But we're asking you for the poll question today. Starting this week, we'll get 26 straight weeks of live football on our televisions. What are you most excited for over that six-month stretch? Is it the new college football playoff? Is it new college football conferences? Is it a fresh NFL season? Or is it the new NFL kickoff rules, aka I don't care?
I am intrigued by what the kickoffs have to offer. I told you, this is how stupid I am. I read like an hour-long article about the new kickoff rule. Like someone went and watched every kickoff from the XFL and the UFL and like charted it. I mean, it was a really in-depth article. And
it said like 700 kickoffs or something like
that,
right?
Yeah, and I was reading this thing and I was like, what am I doing? Like, why? I also think that the first time we get someone that has a big return, someone's just going to kick it in the back of the end zone and be like, take the ball at the 30. Now it's at the 25.
That's the thing. NFL coaches are the most risk-averse individuals out there. So if you can't get it exactly right with your coverage unit, dudes are just going to start booting it again.
Yeah, well, like I looked at all these different charts and, you know, most of the time you had people that had starting position of about the 27, you know, yard line, between 27 and 28 yard line. That was usually where, and they broke it down by types of kick, squib kick, deep kick, coffin corner kick, kick into the left, middle, right, one returner, two returner. I mean, it's a really, really in-depth article. I can't remember where I saw this. It was on Twitter, but I don't remember where the guy had actually written it. But I was thinking to myself, because there are people who are like, oh man, this is going to be so much fun. And there's going to be all these like crazy things. And, you know, running backs or receivers going to be back there returning. And all I keep thinking about is, if the average kick in almost all of these situations ends up on the 27 or 28 yard line,
then we're in no different spot than we were before, right?
And the touchbacks now go to the 25, or did, you know, when we made this rule change. The first time a team just thinks their coverage is leaky, I'm turning to my guy and being like, dude, you kick that effing thing into the back of the end zone and we'll take it at the 30. Because at that point, you're sacrificing, on average, 2 yards. 2.5 yards. So I'm not certain that that's going to be as, it's going to be weird, like the first time we watch this weekend and we see it, we're going to be like, oh my God, that's strange. I'm just not certain it's going to have the impact that everyone thinks it's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we're a bit over our skis. To me, it's the college football playoff. Like the NFL every year is fantastic.
Yeah.
Dude, I am so nerdy. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading about, you know, different training camps. I'm going through depth charts. I'm listening to podcasts. I just love the NFL. I get excited about it. But the NFL's there every year. But the fact that we have a new expanded playoff in college football, that one for me is and maybe down the road it won't matter as much. We'll mm-hmm. get used to it and then be like, oh, it's just like the NFL playoffs. And the NFL is far superior to college football. It's not even close. Just the quality of play, the depth of the teams. The NFL is just such a superior product, especially now that you've taken away a lot of the amateurism, which is kind of what people loved about college football.
Right.
That's dead and gone. It's just NFL light, and it's an inferior product. But the expansion of the playoffs this year, and knowing that one or two games doesn't eliminate you, and that you're going to have to win, you know, more than two games to win a national title, at least for the short term, that one has me pretty juicy.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited about that, and all the different conferences and the matchups. I just think there, to me, there's a lot of good buzz for all the people crapping on college football right now because of NIL and the lawsuits and the house settlement and all this crap. At the end of the day, here in another couple of weeks, we're going to kick off. We're going to have kick-ass games, bigger games, more games than ever. And at the end of the year, we get something that we've all been clamoring for 100 years, and that's a college football playoff.
I'm super excited about it. That would be the number one for me, too, and it's not really even close. I am excited to see what Oregon and the Big Ten looks like. I'm obviously, like many, disappointed about the erosion of the Pac-12, yeah. But as an Oregon alum, I'm turning the page and seeing like, what's up next? What are we? Well, and that's great. But the playoff is it. And because I think now college football is going to most closely reflect the way to determine the fairest way of determining the champion.
Sure.
Because it's like you're getting in the tournament with the NFL. It's not the exact same number of teams or whatever, but I just love that whether you have a hiccup early in the season or you're just peaking late and at the right time, I like that the team that's playing best for a month stretch at the end is probably going to be the one to hoist the trophy.
Yes, because I don't like... Sorry, my mic stand here is all kinds of wonky. I don't like that the way college football has been in the past is you have to be the best team for 14 weeks.
You have to be flawless.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, Major League Baseball, nothing's like that. It's like when the Braves, the best regular season team, cool, great. Can you win in the playoffs?
Right.
No, you can't. So thanks for coming. Get out of here. I remember a couple of those years that like the Stanford teams, you know, at the end of the year, no one wanted to play those Stanford teams. Last year with Florida State, and it sucked that Florida State got bumped, but with the injuries and only four teams,
mm-hmm.
Florida State wasn't one of the best four teams. And now under this new system,
they get
a chance to prove it. So, and I like that you can, you know, have some hiccups early on in the year. And then as your team grows and develops, you got a freshman quarterback. And by the time we get to week eight, that's a different quarterback than we saw in week one. I just want to find out who's the best team at the end of the year. And it's the best way to do it, and we're finally going to get that opportunity. And I think it's taking, for all the stuff that's wrong with college football, we're getting a lot of things that are right with college football. And this is the true way to do it, because it's so ridiculous the way we used to do it in the past. There's no other level of football that does it that way.
Right.
None.
Well, I mean, think about it in the NFL. If, you know, the Chiefs lose three games in a row at the end of November, end of October, early November, yeah. You're saying they don't get a shot to try and win the Super Bowl at the end of the season? And I know that college football has been a different beast for so long, but like you said, as we've lost some of the amateurism in it, mm-hmm. I think it's more appropriate that it more reflects a professional model of, no, this really is the best team. It's not just who either set up their schedule right or who didn't have a hiccup. It's who's playing the best the last month of the season.
And I don't know if we'll ever get a Cinderella. I don't know if that can exist with the talent gap that exists in college football. I think it's probably harder than ever to get Cinderella. Like TCU was the closest thing we got to a Cinderella, and TCU got bludgeoned to death mm-hmm. by Georgia. Now you're going to ask TCU to win, you know, three or four of those games.
Did Cincinnati make a playoff too?
Cincinnati made a playoff.
And they got blasted, but obviously TCU made the championship game.
Yeah, right. And so I think it's harder than ever for that, but you know, maybe we at least give you a shot. You know, Central Florida a couple years ago. they're going to get drilled by one of those teams.
Yeah.
But maybe they get a Boise State moment. Boise State, the year they beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's a kick-ass moment.
And let's see if beating Oklahoma springboards them into being able to do it again, or let's find out if they can't. But at least we're going to get to see.
Yes. So to me, for all the fault to be laid at the feet of college football, and believe me, there is a ton. And for Oregon State fan, for Washington State fan, no one's going to say anything that's going to make you feel better. You got screwed. But let's also be fair and say that those teams weren't teams that were really ever going to compete for a championship and have never really done it, with the exception of maybe OSU the one year.
Yeah.
And under that system that we have now, they would have had a chance mm-hmm. that year, the magical Fiesta Bowl year, you would have a chance to prove it. So yep. I can't say, you know, never say never, but in the history of college football, you had one year. But it still doesn't change the fact that it sucks. And there are some people that, yes, did get kneecapped, but for the most part, for the majority of the teams going forward, this is going to be a good thing. Maybe some rocky roads, and we're gonna lose some people on the way, and some fans are gonna bitch and moan. But I think the product and the result is going to be better than we've ever had it, and I'm excited for it.
Well, we need to run here because Mike Yam's gonna join us on the other side of the break. The Yammer coming in to talk college football and the NFL. That's coming up next. But first, Ortner with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. No Isaac, he's still down at Pebble Beach, but we are joined right now by a good friend on the show, one Mike Yam. He is working now for the CW, covering college football, working for the NFL Network, obviously covering NFL football, but also children's author of Fried Rice and Marinara, Mr. Do-It-All, Mike Yam, joining us. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. I appreciate it. You should be on the golf course, too. I just want to throw that out there.
We agree.
This should be like a team effort.
Yeah, we don't have that Rob schedule. He, he's like the Aaron Rodgers of the group. He has the unexcused absence that's excused.
I hear you.
It's a good thing.
If you get a tee time at Pebble, you can't move it, you know, just like Rodgers' trip to Egypt.
You just look. For me, I'll just take off whenever they let me take off. So, but I wouldn't mind getting out onto the golf course myself. Just throwing that out there.
Well, listen, Mike, we're excited to connect, mostly because you've got a new gig. You want to tell us a little bit about it and what you're excited for?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. You know, like when God, this is so crazy how the world comes together the way that it does. You know, obviously spent a long time covering the Pac-12 and Pac-12 Network, about a decade there. And in 2020, I didn't have a job there anymore, and have been really fortunate and have loved my time at NFL Network. And I still get to do the NFL thing. But I had some folks from the Pac-12 side reach out to me a couple months ago and say, hey, any interest in potentially coming back? And my response initially was, coming back to what? There's no network. Like, what are we talking about? And no, they explained to me that they were going to be housing a lot of the pregame, the postgame, halftime, the fills, all that stuff for the CW. So I said, dude, I am so in if that can come together. And, you know, I got permission from NFL Network, and obviously Oregon State and Washington State will be on the CW this year, which I'm thrilled about. And then we get to expand. ACC was on CW a year ago, and looking forward to adding to their coverage this season.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's like this ever-evolving thing. Do you think over the next – if I had to give you a timeline, put on the Mike Yam future thinking cap. When does all this kind of get settled? Do we come to a final reality in the next 3 to 5 years? Do you think this is an ongoing evolution?
Are you talking about realignment in particular?
Yeah, just, you know, it's just, we got the house settlement lawsuits, and we got scholarship limits and NIL stuff, and there's antitrust, and now we've got realignment, and the ACC could be, you know, eventually we're going to settle on something. It's just when.
Agreed. Look, the whole landscape of college athletics, we have seen this evolution happening for years when it comes to the portal, now NIL. By the way, I was at ACC Media Days last week. The players look better than they ever have before. I did like a decade of media days, right? Yeah. I don't remember like the Louis Vuitton shoes and the bling that looks really real. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
NIL money is a real thing for a lot of these players, which is cool to see, and I'm glad they're able to get it. So from a portal perspective and an NIL perspective, I think this thing just continues on the tracks and is going to continue to progress. From a realignment standpoint, I don't even think we're close to done. In fact, I'll tell you, look, there's obviously uncertainty in the ACC with Clemson and Florida State, but I would just fast forward here. I think in 10 years, and I'd have to go through all these television contracts, so I'll just put a broad number of a decade out. The rivalries that we have grown and loved on the West Coast in the Pac-12 conference, I am convinced, will be back. And I don't know if it's going to be called the Pac-12, but I just don't know how sustainable it is to have the current landscape of a Power Four, kind of the four major conferences now. I just don't know how realistic that is in the long term. I mean, it's these giant land grabs. I still think you would net out on more of an NFL model. And I'll throw this out there. Look, I was at ACC Media Days. I live in Los Angeles now, and I didn't feel great Monday morning. I flew in Sunday. I'm telling you, I talked to some of these coaches out on the West Coast, and I get it, they charter, but there's a body clock thing where I don't know how we expect some of these kids, like Cal and Stanford going to the East Coast. That's not going to be fun. SMU has got like a treacherous stretch where they're going like Texas, East Coast, back to Palo Alto, back to Texas. I mean, you're logging some serious frequent flyer miles. And I just, to your point, I don't think it's done. And I really do think there's a lot more realignment to come.
Well, and I know it's weird because no one talks about it, but yeah, we are still supposedly making these kids go to school. Like it's such a weird thing in all of this. You don't hear one thing about academics, and I know it's to the back burner now and everyone gets paid, but you still, like the last time I checked, there's still NCAA like qualifying and they're still like academic progress, and you do have to go to class at least right now.
Agreed. And look, although you do see some of these guys, like I talked to a couple players at ACC Media Day, and they're like, oh yeah, all my stuff's online. I'm like, damn, they're still doing that? Like, the online thing, like, this is still a thing? And it is. And some of them are grad students. And I talked to one kid who's a seven-year guy. God, I wish I was on that seven-year plan, I'll tell you that, when I was in school. But you're right. Like, there's a lot of demands. So I just think it's going to be crazy over the next couple years. And look, I think, to your point on some of the things that they have to do academically on top of, you know, just the travel and the demands of being, you know, an athlete, I'm glad they're getting their share in NIL cash. I really am.
Wanted to ask you too, Mike, because you are going to be covering Oregon State and Washington State, about what your expectations are for their programs, especially, I mean, specifically their football programs in this new normal. Obviously, they're the two that get left out in the cold. They're the two that don't get to be in a power conference. They're still trying to carry over as much of their roster from being in the Pac-12 as they can, but there have been massive departures from both. I think it's still positive that they're going to be on TV, that they're not shut out entirely, but it is obviously very different. What are the vibes you're getting from those programs, and what's your expectation in covering them this season?
Yeah, look, I'm excited to see the products on the football field, because we spend a lot of time talking about what's going to happen off of the field. And in due time, we'll get some of those answers. But I think it's unsettling. I think it's unsettling for an administration, for the student athletes that are there, for the coaches, you know, like, it's really meaningful. Like, from a Jonathan Smith perspective, I don't blame him, right, for leaving. I mean, it sucks for Oregon State. I didn't think it was going to happen. But when you just don't know where you're going to be competing, what's that level of competition? Are you going to have the resources to be able to compete? I mean, look, I don't think it's – I was about to call out one coach in particular, but I think this is every single coach. Coach takes over a brand-new program. You know, one of the first questions he's going to ask an athletic director is, like, what's my budget for support staff? You know, can I go and pay coordinators top dollar, you know, and compared to what some of the other coordinators are making in the league? Like, those are the types of things that are meaningful. And I think right now, from a Washington State and an Oregon State perspective, they're still trying to figure out, hey, like, what is this next step? Is it combining with the Mountain West? Is it some sort of reverse merger? Is there, I've seen like the European soccer model where teams would come up, and if they did well, they'd stay, and other teams get relegated down. I mean, it's been pretty creative. I think there's also a school of thought of seeing, like, hey, let's see what happens with this Clemson Florida State situation. And is there, you know, a deal with them? Is there a deal that changes from an ACC perspective? Already, you know, two teams on the West Coast with Stanford and Cal that are familiar with obviously the two teams in the Pac-12. So, you know, I just think the uncertainty is unsettling. And I think hopefully we get an answer within the next year or so. You know, from a contractual obligation, I do love the fact, and I sound like a company guy because you're asking me about the CW when we come on, but one of the major issues that this league had for a long time was eyeballs and distribution. I mean, think about this. Oregon State and Washington State will probably get more eyeballs on their games than any of the games that were played on Pac-12 Network over the course of the 10 years that I was there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of reality.
That's
right? I don't know the exact numbers, but I don't think I'm far off, if I'm being honest with you. Like, they got penetration across the board in every household in this country. Pac-12 Network, I know for a fact, didn't have that. So, and I think at our peak, what were we, 20 million homes, something along those lines. So I just think about the opportunity from an opportunity for these schools to get their teams out there and get eyeballs on the product.
And hopefully, you know, it can get settled, because the longer it goes, the resources dwindle and, you know, you kind of get forgotten. So time is not your friend, but fingers crossed. Now, I want to ask you, like, because you were at the ACC Media Day, and obviously what happened to the Pac-12 was a lot of people's fault. But look, UCLA and USC was the domino, and then Oregon, Washington was the killer. And, you know, and now there's a lot of, like, bitter feelings. Well, in the ACC, you got two schools right now that are trying to kill that conference, basically. And, you know, how awkward was it, you know, knowing that everyone's there, and yet it's not a united front, and there's two schools that are actively suing, saying, we're better than you, I don't want to be a part of this? What sort of vibe was there at ACC Media Day when we've already seen you can kill a conference? Like, the, you know, it used to be a conference like that can't fail. Yes, it can.
You're 100% accurate, and I think it's a really good question. And, you know, it's funny, Max Brown, who obviously played at SC for a little bit, played at Pitt. He's going to be, you know, one of my teammates on the CW, calling mostly ACC games. We were talking about this, and I think he kind of painted a pretty good picture, because I was gone in 2020 from Pac-12 Network. So a lot of these conversations, like, you hear occasional rumblings. Clearly there were some universities that felt like their brands were bigger than the other ones in the league. And, you know, a disproportionate share of cash should go to those campuses. That's not how the Pac-12 worked. It was an even share across the board. And, you know, maybe that was part of the reason why you saw the defections from the LA schools. But Max made a really good point. He said, over the course of the last couple of years, there's been so much, well, what happens now? The league is over. And it was so unsettling. He said it wasn't for him. ACC Media Day wasn't exactly that vibe, but there was some reminders of it. Because to your point, like, there are two schools very publicly unhappy with the roles that they have right now. And I think if you're Florida State or Clemson, you got two of the great brands in college football, right? I mean, God, I remember growing up as a kid watching all these Florida State games. Like, to me, they got to feel like, how do we go and compete? And the dollars over time, over the next few years, that delta just gets bigger and bigger. And if you're talking about tens of millions of dollars that the teams that they're trying to knock off in a college football playoff have at their disposal, that is meaningful. That is so meaningful. And your margin of error just decreases so much more. You just got to be able to hit on almost all the prospects, all the kids that you're trying to get. And I know Clemson's not dipping into the portal per se, but, you know, you go into the portal, you go into the high school ranks, no matter what, you can't miss. And I just think that those schools sit back and go, this is not something that's sustainable long term, and there's got to be a better option.
Mike, want to hit on NFL with you just for 1 second. Sure. before we get you out of here. But I know you've been really busy. You're at Rams camp, and coming up, you're headed to Baltimore's camp, Atlanta's camp, and Buffalo's camp. Of the things that you've covered so far this summer with the NFL, or that you're going to be covering in the next week or so, what's really stood out to you?
Wow. Look, you just mentioned Baltimore. I'm actually really excited. Last year during the season, I don't know if you felt this way, I thought the Ravens were the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect to the Chiefs, who clearly can say that they are, because guess what? They won the Super Bowl and they beat
them head to head
in Baltimore in an AFC championship game. I get all of that. In the regular season, the Ravens, to me, were the scariest team, a dominant offense and a dominant defense. And to me, sometimes you need to learn how to win. And Baltimore, I think, might have learned a really tough lesson on how to win in a really deflating loss in that championship game, that AFC championship game against Kansas City. And I think there are teams in the AFC right now that go and look at the Chiefs and say, how do we build our team to beat that squad? And I think Derrick Henry has a lot of tread still left on those tires. Mm. And as much as I think Derrick Henry can help Lamar Jackson in that offense, I think Lamar Jackson in that offense can help Derrick Henry. No team is going to now look at Derrick Henry in the backfield and say, only threat, they're definitely running, he's getting the rock. And oh, by the way, he still was able to dominate. I just think the options for this offense, there were two designed runs for Lamar Jackson in the AFC Championship game, and they lost. I can't help but think that maybe that play calling is a little bit different this upcoming season mm-hmm. if we're talking about an AFC Championship game with those two teams again.
I have yelled it from the mountaintop now for months, and I've been doing this for 22 years.
Wow.
And I, to this day, will tell you, I cannot recall a worse game plan than what the Baltimore Ravens had in that that game. And I've yet to see an explanation for it. It baffles me. It is one of those things that, like, it'll be 10 years from now and I'll randomly bring it up to someone and be like, this old man, I just don't understand it. The number one rushing team in the NFL against a defense that isn't, the one thing that they don't do well is stop the run. And you go into that game, we're like, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to run the ball. No, we're not. I think in the second half, they gave their two backs three carries. It's just the most, and they still almost won. So it's the most, as you can tell, I'm still, still, whenever it gets brought up, you brought up the Ravens being the best team, I just want to start yelling, yes, 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 they should have won the Super Bowl. But they didn't because they refused to run the ball.
Look, they had success too. Even Todd Monken, who I thought, by the way, did a tremendous job during the season.
Yes.
That offense was explosive. They were great in the air, and that's what we wanted to see, the evolution of Lamar Jackson. But I got to tell you, you get to the postseason, you got to run a little bit. And it was a tough watch, man. I thought the Ravens were going to win the Super Bowl last year. I did not see that playing out the way that it did.
Mike, really appreciate your time and sticking on with us for a little bit longer. But congratulations to you in the new gig. We are excited to see you covering what used to be Pac-12 teams regularly on Saturdays coming up this season. And we'll catch you on the NFL Network as well. You can follow him at Mike_Yam on Twitter. As always, Mike, thanks for joining us.
I always appreciate the invite. Thanks again.
Absolutely. The great Mike Yam, always nice connecting with him. Coming up next, Sook and Yam talking about the Ravens in the Super Bowl. One parlay ticket needs them to win to cash $223,000. We'll give you the details next.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Always great to have Mike Yam on the program. He and Sook were talking about just how good the Baltimore Ravens are, or were at the end of last year, and mind-numbing offensive play calling.
You can tell that someone had money on the Ravens. To win that game and the Super Bowl. Freaking A.
Well, this comes up probably every couple weeks or so, but I feel like we get a gambler out there who's put together a ridiculous parlay and they need one more thing to hit, and then we start playing the should they sell the ticket game.
Sure.
This has now happened one more time. There's an 18-leg parlay that was a $5 wager, stands to pay out $222,000. It's one of the most bizarre that I've seen. 11 of the 18 legs are from two UFC events.
Okay.
They hit all those fights. The other four of the other legs are from game two of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pacers and Celtics.
It's random.
They hit a Jaylen Brown points over, a Pascal Siakam points over, a Drew Holiday points over, and an Andrew Nembhard points over. The last thing they need on their card to cash is the Ravens to win the Super Bowl at plus 950.
Really?
So it's a $5 bet to win $222,000, and Prop Swap, which is one of these institutions that will think that it's a good deal based on the odds, will buy tickets off of people. Current offer is $20,000 on that.
Oh, you got to let that ride. Screw that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Dude, no.
The Ravens are good. You don't sell that thing.
I think I'm selling.
I'd wait, because Baltimore isn't going to fall on their face. Now, and as that gets closer, Baltimore is a playoff team. I still think Baltimore is the best team in football. Now, we'll see what happens. Mike McDonald leaving, you know, it certainly you lose a coordinator, you could fall off a bit. But the vast majority of this team is back. Look, this is, and I think you got better at running back. I think you learned a lesson in the second half of that game against the Chiefs. might want to run the ball when that's the thing you do better mm-hmm. than anyone else. Let Lamar Jackson at that point run the ball or turn around and hand it to Justice Hill or, I don't know, that Derrick Henry guy. Like, you have real weapons on the outside. Like, Baltimore is good. Baltimore is an 11-win team in their sleep. So wait until they win 12 games. Wait until they're the 1 or 2 seed in the AFC playoffs. Maybe wait until they win a wild card game and then go ahead and sell the ticket. Because you ain't, 20 grand now is fine. Even if you wait through the regular season and Baltimore is going to be good, that ticket will end up being at least 40 if you want to sell it. This isn't like you betting on the Jets.
No.
Who I think the Jets are going to be good to. I think some people are sleeping on the Jets. The Jets are better than they were a year ago, and you add in Aaron Rodgers, and they won 7 games last year. This isn't the Jets that's being held together by a bunch of old dudes and like a tender Achilles and some mushrooms. Like, the Ravens are good. When's the last time the Ravens were bad? This better.
It doesn't happen under
this
John
ticket
Harbaugh.
Will only get better.
See, and that's fair. I can get behind that. But I also think that that shows the differences in how much money you and I have in our bank account, because 20 grand does a lot of stuff for Will.
Yeah, but
maybe it doesn't do a lot of stuff for others.
For the most part, 20 grand doesn't change your life. That's all I'm saying. When you get done paying taxes,
changes
mine
and Will's life.
But it really
rent
doesn't.
Got real cheap.
It doesn't change Will's life. It makes life a little more comfortable for Will, but it doesn't change anyone's life. So you just let that go. Now, if you're telling me that someone's offering you, like, you know, $500,000 or something, and you can buy a house and you know, pay off your debt or whatever, or start a business. But, you know, come on.
I do
let
think
that ride. Baltimore is going to be fine. Baltimore is almost that entire team's back. The only real question is does losing McDonald like just like gut you? And that almost never happens in the NFL when you bring so much back.
The gambler in me thinks that that is the absolute right way to play it, is let the regular season play out a little bit, and if, especially if they can get off to a hot start, watch that 20K offer go up to 40K or 60K, and then have a different reevaluation of it. But being someone who $20,000 would make a big difference right now, I would also be risk averse, be like, well, what if something happens to Lamar in week 1 and then my ticket go poof? That's what would be my other concern. So I think I'm taking the 20K.
It is a tough schedule for Baltimore. They're at Kansas City to start, which is tough. And we're going to get, that's the Super Bowl, you know, the AFC title game rematch. Yeah, no one cares. But there's that. And then Vegas, whatever. Dallas, and again, you can say what you will about Dallas. Dallas wins 11 games every year. And then you got Buffalo, Cincinnati. I mean, four of your first 5 games are legitimate squads. Dallas, Buffalo, Cincy, and Kansas City. I don't know what to make of Vegas. I think Vegas is whatever. But, I mean, that's a tough 5-game stretch. I could see you going 3-2 there, or 2-3. I personally think 3-2, maybe even 4-1. But I see where you're going. But then, then they get Washington, Denver's mixed in there. I just know Baltimore will be fine. Baltimore is fine every single year. There's certain teams in the NFL that you can just trust. And the Ravens are one of those teams. John Harbaugh, and I guess if you want, like Mike Tomlin, I don't think he has a losing season.
He does not.
Like, they're not great, but they don't lose. Well, the Ravens are better than mediocre. The Ravens just win every single year, and they're not going anywhere.
Coming up next hour, we'll get to Stockwatch, what we're buying and selling from the sports weekend. Also, multiple sword-related stories in the news. But coming up next, we'll continue to talk NFL, talk some quarterbacks. And it's not often we play backup quarterback audio, but you're getting some of that. It's next on Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.